Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you very much, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us. We are entering 2020. Can you believe that? 2019 is just about gone. As you hear this, we pre-record this, so as you hear this, 2019 may be also gone. But we're looking forward to the new year. We've got some interviews lined up, particularly with some baseball players. We've got a number of baseball players out there that are strong Christians, and we're always looking for who God sends in our way. You know, over the last, I guess this is going to be about the 30th year that we've done face-to-face. Actually, 28. We started the concept of face-to-face in 1990 and then went on the air in 1992. But during all that time, we've had about 500 or so different people who have been on face-to-face, all with very interesting stories. I'm always amazed at the stories that these people have. And one of the stories we had that we wanted to bring back to you today is Derek Grant, the interview that we did with Derek Grant. Now, Derek Grant played for a while with the Harlem Globetrotters. I think he was called Dizzy Grant. They also, you know, they have all those different names. I think he was called Dizzy Grant when he played with the Globetrotters. And he also played with the Washington Generals, the team that plays and loses every night. That's got to be tough. You know, when you're a competitive person, I know that when they go out there, they can show off their skills. And in fact, that's how Derek Grant got to be a regular Globetrotter, because he played well with the Generals. But that's got to be tough if you're the team playing the Globetrotters and you lose every night. But Derek has a very interesting story as to how he found Jesus Christ, and we thought you'd want to hear that. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you will hear the interview that we did a couple of years ago with Derek Grant of the Harlem Globetrotters. We'll take a break and be back. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you, and welcome once again to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and it's a real privilege today to talk to a man who has had a unique experience. Our guest is Derek Grant, former Harlem Globetrotter for 8 years. First of all, Derek, welcome to Face to Face. Thanks for being a part of this.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell me, how do you get to be a Harlem Globetrotter?
Well, it's a good question. Just like any other professional sports team, we have scouts that go out and look for talent, and I was no different. I was actually pursuing a dream of playing professional basketball, and I was actually playing on the team that played against the Globetrotters, and the owner of the Globetrotters asked me if I wanted to come try out, and ironically enough, it was in Indianapolis, and I went to try out for 3 days, and it was just strictly basketball. There was no tricks involved, you know, no scripted play. It was just, you know, skills and drills, and I ended up playing well those 3 days, and was offered a contract.
Tell me, were you part of the Washington Nationals? Were you one of those guys?
So when I was on the team, we were known as the New York Nationals, and then it went to the Washington Generals, and I think now it might be called like the International Elite or something like that, but it changes from year to year.
Did you ever win?
I never did. Not never. Playing then. I told my wife, I joke around with her, I say, you know, I got tired of losing for that year. I had to get on the winning side.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like playing for the Harlem Globetrotters. Is it pretty much like playing in the NBA, or is it a lot of scripted things that go on, and you pretty well know what's going to happen every night?
I would say 50% of it is real unscripted basketball, and the other 50% is, you know, kind of the show part of it. You know, we always like to say we're entertainers that could play basketball, so we do have to entertain, and that's where the scripted part of it comes. But as far as the NBA, we do have guys who have left and gone on to the NBA, and we've had guys in the NBA come back down and play for the Globetrotters. So our schedule, we play about twice as many games as they do each year, so it can be pretty grueling.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems as though, and this may go back before you were playing, but didn't the Globetrotters try to play some NBA teams a number of years ago in like some sort of an experiment?
The Globetrotters actually did back in 1948 and 49. They actually beat the Minneapolis Lakers with George Mikan. Actually, they were world champions at that time. The Harlem Globetrotters beat them. So I don't know how the Globetrotters would fare in today's NBA, you know, especially with some of these super teams out there, but it would definitely be a good run.
I love the Harlem Globetrotters. I got to tell you, when I was a young man, not knowing a whole lot about basketball growing up in Northwestern Ohio, the Globetrotters came to town. I was entranced. That song, Sweet Georgia Brown, I think has been in my head ever since. And guys do so much good. When you play, of course you play, as you said, it's about half scripted, half play. But beyond that, there's so much good that goes on. What are some of the things that you're taught about how to relate to people, and what are some of the things that outside of basketball that they want to give to the people?
Well, one thing the Globetrotters are always known for and have been known for is being ambassadors of goodwill. And you know, my 8-year tenure with the team, I love playing games, but one thing I enjoyed more than anything was having the opportunity to have a positive impact on people's lives. You know, I had opportunities to go to schools and teach the kids about, you know, our anti-bullying program. I'd go to hospitals to visit children, or even on our military tour during the holidays, we would go over and entertain the troops who couldn't get home to see their families. So to me, that's what it was all about, being a Harlem Globetrotter, is spreading that goodwill, that joy, and making people remember the game of basketball in a positive light.
Coming out of that circle and doing Sweet Georgia Brown, I assume they still do that. How do you develop that skill that you do with that basketball?
A lot of practice. I can remember when I first got on the team, I couldn't do one trick. I mean, I couldn't even spin the ball on my finger. And by the end of my third year, I had everything pretty much down pat. But we practice every single day, 2 hours a day before the game. And I always tell people, it wasn't just on the court we had to practice. You had to also take a ball back to your hotel room and practice. And there are a lot of – I had a couple of broken lamps over my tenure and a couple of hotels across the country.
What's the hardest thing to get down in that routine?
Oh, gosh. Probably, for me, spinning the ball on somebody else's finger. We would always bring out a kid in the game, and we'd spin the ball on a little boy or a little girl's finger, and – making that transfer from your finger to their finger took, it looks easier than what it is.
Oh, man. It looks like you guys make it so easy, and yet I know that it's got to be really hard. And like you say, that's one of the things that you have to practice. Now, you visited a lot. You got around the world. I think you visited 71 countries or something like that.
Yes.
That had to be some very unique situations. I had a time where I was in India a few years ago and had a chance to see not the Globetrotters but a similar type team, and saw what some of the courts are that you had to play on, some of those outdoor courts. What are some of the experiences that you had in those 71 countries?
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to travel all around the world. I mean, I've been to Great Wall of China 4 different times. I've had the opportunity to play in countries like Libya. I played on aircraft carriers in the middle of the Persian Gulf. I played in bull rings. I've played in old ice rinks that were the ice was taken up and they made a basketball court out of it. So I've had the opportunity to do a lot of things that I never would have thought I would get to do, but by the grace of God, and you know, I've been fortunate enough to be able to do all these things.
And around the world, you are ambassadors. You can probably go in any country in the world. They may not know a lot about NBA players, the NBA, but they know the Globetrotters, don't they?
That's really what makes the Harlem Globetrotters so special. I saw that when I went to Libya back in 2008. I will say that probably most Americans aren't welcomed there in Libya, but they loved the Harlem Globetrotters when we were there. I can remember we had a bus ride, ended up taking about 4 or 5 hours longer than what we anticipated. So we were worried that nobody would be at the game. And when we got there, there was 10,000 people. Wow. In the stands still waiting, even though we were, you know, 2 hours late. So that showed me there how much the Globetrotters, the impact that they have on not just the U.S., but the world, you know, the global impact that they have. And like I said, being ambassadors of goodwill, that goes all around the country, around the world.
Now, I know that there's always I don't know what you would call them, somebody that's like a Meadowlark Lemon going back to my day. Who was the player that was on your team that was kind of fit into that role?
Big Easy Lofton. You know, they're known as Showman. Big Easy is a good friend of mine. He's he was actually a groomsman in my wedding, and I don't know if you remember him. He was on Amazing Race with Flight Time a couple years, and just a great guy, just funny, hilarious off the court. You know, he was one of the guys I always made sure my seat was next to on the bus or the plane, because he'd make you laugh nonstop.
Now, you yourself have a unique situation. You're in the Naismith Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts, you hit or developed the four-point shot. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so the four-point shot was developed in 2010 by the Harlem Globetrotters. We would always say, you know, we're innovators of the game of basketball. We invented the alley-oop, and, you know, we made the three-point shot popular, so we thought, why not come up with something else? And we came up with this four-point shot, which was 35 feet away from the basket, which is 12 feet further than the NBA line. So it really added a lot of excitement to our games, and I was fortunate enough, we had a game down in Orlando on ESPN, and I got a shot at it in the first quarter, and I knocked it down, and I guess you could say the rest is history.
So you were the one designated each night to take the four-point shot?
Well, we had a couple different guys that were able to shoot that shot. I think Firefly Fisher, he holds the record for making 16 four-pointers in a game. So we definitely had some good shooters on the team.
No doubt about that. Our guest is Derek Grant, who was a former Harlem Globetrotter. When we come back, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more about his personal life and find out a little bit about how he got to the role of being a Harlem Globetrotter. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. Derek Grant is our guest. He was a former Harlem Globetrotter. 8 years, I believe, you were with the Globetrotters. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
8 years. You came out of the College of New Jersey, and you had a good career there. NABC All-American, 1,542 points. Where'd you go to high school, and how'd you get to the College of New Jersey?
So I went to a small little high school. Actually, my first 2 years high school, my freshman and sophomore year, I was living in Mandeville, Louisiana. I went to a school called Mandeville High School down there, and my dad's job got relocated up to New Jersey and transferred to a school called Montgomery High School that was in Skillman, New Jersey, a smaller high school than what I was used to in Louisiana. So I had an opportunity to really flourish and kind of let my game blossom. And I played well, ended up averaging 21 points a game my senior year of high school. And I wanted to go play college basketball. I said I didn't care where it was. I didn't care if it was Division I, II, or III. It didn't matter. I just wanted to play college basketball. And I kind of wanted to be close to home as well. And I got some offers to play Division II basketball. Division I school actually let me know that I'd be a preferred walk-on if I wanted to. And you know, I said, let me go to a place where I can get a good quality education. I'll be close to home and play basketball where I'm wanted. So I ended up choosing the College of New Jersey in Ewing, New Jersey.
And you did get a good education. I think you have a business degree, perhaps, or maybe even a master's degree.
Yes. Yeah, I got a bachelor's in business leadership, and I got my master's in organizational management. So something my parents always instilled in me was education is everything. And my mom's she was a college professor, so it was definitely a point of emphasis in my family of getting your education.
And of course, the thing that we're interested in is how Jesus Christ fits into your life. Tell me a little bit about how you came to know Jesus Christ.
Well, I've always been strong in my faith. You know, my parents grew up strong in their faith, and kind of watching them over the years from afar, and you know, going to church, and you know, being active with Vacation Bible School and also Sunday school. I was always in church, but you know, there was a point, and there was a time where I realized that, you know, it wasn't mom and dad taking me anymore. It was going to have to be on my own. And, you know, I had my own family, and I have a wife and two beautiful children that were going to look to me for that spiritual guidance. And that's kind of where it all started. And God has been great to me. Looking back over my life, I've been very fortunate, and I give it all to God. And all the opportunities, all the doors that have closed, all the doors that have opened have been because of Him. And like I said, it's been looking back on my life. You know, I'm 34 years old, soon to be 34, and it's been an amazing journey.
So you really came to know Christ kind of later in life. Were you pretty spiritually strong when you were with the Globetrotters?
Well, I would like to say I wasn't as strong as I could be, you know, as I could have been. Funny story, I was in Rhode Island. I was in Providence, Rhode Island. It was January 2014, and when you're on the road, you're by yourself a lot. You know, I'd leave home every single year on Christmas morning, and I wouldn't come home usually till the end of May. And if I was lucky, I would see my wife and kids for, you know, 3 or 4 days through that 5-month period. And you tend to get lonely. You're in the hotel room, and you know, I would find things to keep me occupied, and I started to find myself being ingrained in the Word, you know, and reading the Bible, and I never will forget. I was in Providence, Rhode Island, and I was bored. I said, you know what, I'll go to the mall and go get something to eat. Well, the place I was going to get something to eat, the line was ridiculously long, and I was looking at 45 minute to an hour wait. I said, well, let me just walk over here to this movie theater that's attached to it. And I walked over there, didn't really plan on seeing a movie, but there was only one movie that was playing at that time that I was there, and it was The Son of God. And I said, well, I just go see it. I got nothing else to do. So I walk in there to go see the movie, and I'm the only one sitting in the movie. And I can remember watching it, crying like a baby, and couldn't understand why. I couldn't understand why this movie was touching me the way it was. And that was when I say I was born again. That moment was when I could hear God. I could feel the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I always tell people now, you know, I was Derek before January 2014, and now Derek after January 2014, because I don't look at things, I don't live life the same way as I did before then. And it's been a spiritual transition, you know, since then. I've been continually growing in my faith, and teach my kids the same way, and being more actively involved in church.
Did that affect your decision to leave the Globetrotters, or what brought about your decision to not be a part of the Globetrotters?
It did. It definitely did. You know, I realized that, you know, at the time we had a 2-year-old son, and my wife and I wanted more children, and we always said, you know, it's hard being away from home, and I don't want to be away from my children, you know, and do this. You know, so if we're going to have another child, this, you know, I'd like to be doing something else. And I always pray. I would pray every night to God, saying if I could just be around the game of basketball and be at home, that's it. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'd be a college coach or be an NBA coach or something like that. And, you know, he's blessed me more than I could have ever imagined. He's always given me more than I've asked for. You know, I had no idea that I could come to work every day and train and work with NBA players all the way down to, you know, little kids. I had no idea. And God kind of opened up that door for me and put in my heart and showed me that this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I'm meant to do. I'm supposed to be impacting lives and teaching the word.
So what are you doing now? What's your role now?
So I own a business called Derek Grant Basketball. I train out of Best Choice Fieldhouse in Fishers, Indiana. And now I work on skill development. I teach players, like I said, from NBA, WNBA level all the way down to second and third graders. And I teach them the game of basketball. I actually had one of my clients last year. He won Mr. Basketball in Indiana. He's now a freshman at University of Virginia, Kyle Guy. So I've had the opportunity to work with some great players, with even better people. And that's my whole mission. If I can teach you the game of basketball and make you better, great. But if I can help you to become a better person, then that's even better.
Can you still hit the 35-foot shot?
I can. I'm a little more rusty than I used to be. I don't practice quite as much as I used to, but I can. Some things never go away.
How does your faith come in when you're teaching these kids now? You're in a role where you are a role model to a lot of people. A lot of people depend on you. Can you put your faith in action as you teach these kids?
I can. It's so funny that you asked that, because the hardest thing to me is approaching somebody who you don't even know and then teaching them something that they have been doing for years. That takes a great deal of trust for them to trust you. They have to put themselves in a vulnerable state to be able to do that. And similar to, I like to say, it's like that relationship that you have with God. For you to really trust God, for you to really comprehend what God does, you have to put yourself in that vulnerable state, and you have to trust Him wholeheartedly. And that's hard to do sometimes. You know, the flesh says, oh, well, you know, I can do it myself. But you have to be strong enough as a Christian in your faith to say, you know what, God's got it. I got to let go. And I tell my players that. I always tell them, you know, if you want me to help you, you have to trust me. You have to trust that I will make you better. Even though it may seem like, you know, I can't make a shot, or things aren't going the way, you know, you think they're supposed to go, just trust me. I'll make things work for you.
When you look back on your time with the Globetrotters, what do you remember most? What's your biggest thrill in being a part of the Harlem Globetrotters?
When I first got on the team, just having an opportunity to travel the world. That was, to me, the coolest thing in the world. You know, I was going, I mean, my first year on the team, I think I went to like 13 countries. And then as I got older, I started to have family, kind of your perspective changes a little bit. It was looking in the crowd and seeing kids laugh and just knowing that they will never forget this moment. They will never forget. I mean, I would always have people 60, 70, 80 years old come up to me telling me stories when they saw the Globetrotters. And just knowing that I was doing that same thing for that generation that's coming up was, it really means a lot.
I know that there are times when the Globetrotters have been to the White House or they've been to royalty and they've saw it. Did you ever have a moment like that?
I had the opportunity to have the a tour of the Presidential Palace in Romania. We didn't get to meet the president, but we got a tour of the palace. And I wish I got to meet our president, but I wasn't fortunate enough. They actually selected a couple guys to go there. But hopefully one day I get to meet the United States of America's president.
You still have contact with a lot of your former players on the Globetrotters?
I do. Some of my closest friends I still keep in contact with. Obviously, you know, in the sports world, there's a high turnover rate. Guys, you know, go on to other teams or there's injuries and they just don't. So it's kind of hard to keep in contact, but social media has made it a little easier to keep in contact with old friends.
Derek Grant, it's been a privilege and an honor to not just talk to you about the Globetrotters, but to hear about your spiritual journey. Let's close this way. What is a favorite verse that you have that you might want to give to our listeners?
So I like to live life, and I tell all my students this. I have a verse called, it's Galatians 6:9, and goes, "And let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary." And that's the way I try to live my life. You know, things may not always go the way you want right now, but if you do things for the right reason and hold strong in faith, eventually they'll work out.
Derek, thanks again for being a part of Face to Face, and good luck with your ministry.
Thank you.
Derek Grant, former Harlem Globetrotter, and now the head of Derek Grant Ministries. Derek Grant, I guess it's Derek Grant Basketball,
Derek
right?
Derek Grant Basketball, that's right. Yep.
But there's a ministry in there.
Yes, there is.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. Hope you're doing well. And we have had a number of interviews from the past on here recently to take care of myself as I've gone through some surgery. But I'm pretty well back and happy to do this, happy to be going into our 30th year and looking at various interviews that we have with guys like Derek Grant. We've got some good stories coming up. Now, one of the things that Derek Grant is doing now, he is not playing with the Globetrotters anymore, and he has formed his own training gym. It's a gym that gets basketball players ready for college or pro. I think there might even be some high school players in there. In fact, I know they are. Called Derek Grant Basketball, and that's where we met Derek a couple of years ago at his gym. So I hope you enjoyed the interview that we had with Derek, and that's what he's doing now. Well, as we think about 2020, we think about what's coming up in the weeks ahead, and we've got some baseball players coming. We've got some other different players from other sports, and we try to always line up some. But all the ones that we have done in the past are on our website, and our website can be found at facetofaceradio.com. I hope to check that out and see some of the news stories that we have up there. We've had some different stories that we've got from the past, and also the interviews that we've had in the past that you might want to hear and listen to. They're there for whoever. Sometimes you might want to share them. Even when I was in the hospital, I had a chance to share it with one of the nurses. One of the nurses wanted to know a little bit about what I did, and it was late at night, in the middle of the night, actually, and we talked about face-to-face, and she said, let me bring this up on the computer that she had there, and we had a chance to talk about it at that time. So face-to-face is for everyone, and hope that you'll get a chance to check that out. Face-to-faceradio.com. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a passage from the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And here's what it says. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. As we head into the new year, it could be a very interesting year in a lot of ways, particularly with the elections coming up. Could get kind of rough, quite honestly. And as Christians, I think one of our responsibilities is to sort of bring peace and to be thankful. You know, sometimes I just read a devotional article
about the 10 lepers in the Bible, where nine of them, they were all 10 were healed, but nine of them did not come back. One came back and he was thankful. And that's what we should be. We should always be thankful. So again, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face. We'll be right back.